It is Wednesday, my dudes.
We are live. Welcome back to the Wednesday Pull List. My name is Lex, and I'm here with my co-host, Simon. What's up, Simon?
Hey, I'm here.
And we are your friendly neighborhood geeks slash nerds slash guys that used to get swirlies in elementary school, and we are here to talk about comic books. Well, we talk about all kinds of, you know, geek culture, but predominantly comic books. So that's what we're here for, and if you're into that, you're in the right place.
Yeah, so I was too fat for swirlies. Nobody could pick me up.
And I didn't get picked on because I went to a predominantly white elementary school, and I was a black kid, so they automatically just thought that I could play basketball. And I was cool, so they were wrong. What's been going on with you, man? It's been a long time, and I have to admit that I have a little bit of stage fright.
It's been a long time, like Timbaland said. Shouldn't have left you.
I had to think about that. I was like, what?
Not much, man. I've been doing a lot of crafts. That sounds really... I took the last week off for vacation. Mm-hmm. Also happened to catch COVID. It did. So it was a shitty vacation. I'm the kind of person where even if I'm sick, I can't really sit down.
Yeah.
So yeah, I spent this week making a bunch of little miniature props.
Hell yeah.
I made a little couch, like all kinds of shit. But I spent most of our break doing toy photography and just kind of relaxing, you know?
Hell yeah. Yeah. You got the unspoken illness. It sucks, man.
Yeah.
I'm glad you're alive. I'm glad you're alive, though.
That which must not be named. Yeah. And it's one of those weird things, you know, like I feel okay. I never really felt that bad. Not to say that it's not a serious thing. I'm not a denier.
Yeah.
And my wife did okay, too. But she did have some coughing issues. But, you know, anyway, yeah, we're blessed to be doing well. And I'm glad to be talking to you.
Yeah. I'm glad that I saw you and I didn't get it. So,
yeah. Well, that's what responsible mask wearing.
And I could have got it, but my wife gets tested like 3 times a week. So if, I mean, she may be impervious to us. She is from the country. they are impervious to that kind of stuff.
Hey, man, we're from the same place.
It's true. That's true. I say it's been forever. I say it's been a long time since we talked, but it's only really been 3 weeks, 3.5 weeks maybe. But it's felt like a long time, especially after doing it, you know, so often.
Yeah, just nonstop, like a couple of teenagers, you know?
Yeah, yeah, a couple of teenage bunny rabbits. We're back, and we got a couple of things in the works. It's weird because we're recording this before I put everything together. So if you're listening to this, you probably heard our new intro music, which was created by the world-renowned Polly Pocket, Simon's lovely wife. So I hope you enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. I've listened to it numerous times, even though it's just it's silly.
Yeah, she did a good job. I'm proud of her.
Silly, but I really, really enjoyed it. You also probably noticed our new, I don't even know what it's called, podcast cover art. I think that's what it's called. Maybe.
Yeah.
We look like lovers. I think that's probably the
best. Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah.
The guy that did a great job. It really improved Simon's beard.
I'm jealous of that beard.
Made me realize I wasn't as dark as I thought I was. I need to get some more sun.
Wintertime.
Oh, man. But yeah, we got a couple of new things in the work. It's good to be back. I kind of wanted to get the, you know, new music, new cover art, because it's sort of like a fresh launch for our podcast. Simon joined last May 5th, I think. And so it just kind of like picked up in the middle of what we were already doing here, and then we just kind of rolled with it. And over the time, we kind of forged what we were going to do. We started doing comic book reviews, it started going a little better, and we started, you know, just hitting some highlights instead of talking about all the nerd news. And it got easier for me to do it, you know what I mean? Like, we read something, we just talked about it. For me, it was rather than like going and trying to keep up with all the news and everything that's going on with everybody, just like that, and that's not even interesting to me. So a couple of things that we find interesting, we talk about, and then we review comics. That's what we do here. So we've missed a few things. We've both had the PlayStation for a while now, PlayStation 5. Sorry if you are out there and you haven't gotten it.
Scalper scum, man.
What are your thoughts after having it for a month or so? More than a month, I guess.
I really enjoy it. I don't think anybody needs it right now. If that's...
Yeah.
It's a great little machine. But don't pay $1,000 for it, because all I'm doing is playing PlayStation 4 games. So
yeah, for the first, I'm gonna say month that I had it, up until last week, I was playing games that I never finished on PS4.
Yeah.
So Days Gone, I beat God of War, but I've been going back and trying to do a lot of the stuff that I didn't do and things like that. So it was actually kind of a waste.
Yeah.
Like, I had Spider-Man, but I didn't start playing it until last week.
Right.
And so
same here. I played Ghost of Tsushima, finished that up, and then played Miles Morales.
I don't know what I'm going to play next. I did get the remastered Spider-Man with it, so I might play that. What else have we missed these past
weeks? Human.
Tons of stuff. Christmas. You get anything fancy
Human
for Christmas?
Contact. I got a Mezco Wolverine in like his classic brown and gold costume. Hey, y'all at all mentioned that he looked like he was packing.
Yeah, he's got salami in his pants. Smuggling it over the Canadian border.
it's some poutine. And then I got just a lot of miniatures. Nicole really hit it out of the park. She bought me like these little Starbucks things, and she bought me some...
Oh, yeah, those are great.
Yeah, it's a cool little prop. And then she bought me some just cash and, like, some masks, which, unfortunately, they're not elastic. Like, they're more of, like, a prop. Like, you can't – not advisable to put them on anything. And then what else? It was a bunch of props, like a bunch of little stuff like that. I'm trying to think.
That's freaking great, though. And then you got that green I don't want to say it because I'm going to say it wrong, but it was like a green background or box.
Oh, yeah, yeah. This fold-out, thank you, a fold-out photo box. That was was cool. It's just this small, it's probably like a 10 by 10 little box that folds all together, and it has like a green screen or like red or black or whatever. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, it does look great. Yeah, that Luke picture that you posted was freaking great, man.
I appreciate that. Yeah, it's cool.
I got comic book stuff. There's things that, like, I have, I made some wheeling and dealing. So my mom is getting a new heat press. She does, like, arts and crafts and stuff like that. And so she's getting a new heat press, but she already has a badass one. And so I'm just like, hey, just don't give me anything. You know, I don't need the usual socks or anything. I'm good. I got most of the things that I need.
None of those high-dollar socks, Mom.
Yeah. Please don't give me any cashmere socks. I'd never wear this thing. But give me that heat press, you know, because that's like $300 or whatever. So I'm going to get that as like a hand-me-down instead of buying one. So, you know what I mean? I'm just making deals to save myself money because I wanted one.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I like to press and clean comic books, or, you know, my own, really. And so I've worked that deal out. So I'm getting that. And then just not comic book stuff. My in-laws bought me whiskey, which I'm just like, what? I'm gonna drink all that real quick.
Yeah.
Merry Christmas. So yeah, that's all I really got. But I don't really know about any news. I should have looked. You know, I thought about it. I was like, I mean, I'm gonna look. But then again, like, you guys listening have already seen all the news. You don't need me to talk about it.
Yeah. The world slowed down in Christmas, and it's just kind of nothing new has really come out. There hadn't been that many announcements of any kind that I've seen.
Today, there's a big deal about people, or people are making a big deal about Michael Keaton replacing Ben Affleck as Batman in the DCEU, but I'm pretty sure they announced that like 6 months ago. I don't know why people are acting so surprised.
Maybe he wasn't the de facto replacement. That's probably, yeah. I don't know.
Well, either way, I could care less unless they're going to make Batman Beyond. That's the only thing that would make me care about that.
I'm still curious how they would do that costume.
The Batman Beyond costume?
Yeah.
Probably wouldn't be good.
Yeah, they would have... I think it would be kind of cool if they did, like, a digital face. I mean, like...
Like in Miles Morales? Like his...
Yeah, that would be kind of neat.
That would be cool.
Maybe.
I think it would be cool. I think it would be really cool. I guess, yeah, that's cool. Did you beat Miles Morales? We can talk about that for a second.
Yeah, I did. I enjoyed it. I feel like it really... pulled in my heartstrings.
Yeah, somebody asked me before, like, I was just probably about an hour into playing, and they were like, hey, let me know if it's just a reskin of Spider-Man. And I was like, oh, you know, I guess you could say it is, but it really, after playing the whole thing, it's really not. It's really its own game. Even though it is short, it really is its own thing. You know what I mean? It's not, it's bigger than a DLC, but it's smaller than a game.
The best way I can describe it is like a really compressed, like they took all the good parts from Spider-Man, no filler.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Left out the Mary Jane sneaking around. Ugh, those are the worst parts of that game.
Yeah, I didn't like it.
They did have one of those in though. They had the part where you had to go around recording the sounds. I was like, I don't like this. I'm not a fan.
Oh yeah.
To get the Prowler suit or whatever. I was like, even though that's my favorite suit, was not a fan of it. It was great though. I thought it was great. Honestly, it's not a reskin. It felt like its own game. I wish that it would get some DLC, but I really don't see them doing that.
No.
Especially because Spider-Man 2 is like the big thing.
A secret ending, though. There is a secret ending.
Yeah. Wait. Spoilers. Turn this off. What's the secret ending? Is it you see Norman?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Then I unlocked that unintentionally.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like secret you have to unlock everything. It's like after the credits.
Yeah, like an end credit scene type of thing. Yeah. Great. I am excited about that. What do you think about Peter Parker's face? And then it was a big controversy of people wanting Yuri, whatever his name is, to be the face still.
Is that his actual face? Yuri's actual face? I thought that they just made up that Peter Parker's face.
I think it's his actual face on the old one.
Oh, I don't know.
I could be making that up.
When I saw the still images, I wasn't a fan, but when I saw it in game, it looked fine.
Yeah, I think it looked fine too. It was kind
jarring.
Of jarring. Yeah, it was jarring because I played Spider-Man 1 so much.
Yeah.
Like the week before I got the PlayStation 5, I played Spider-Man. So it's like playing that so much. And it's not like he looked bad before. It's just, I don't know.
He kind of looked interesting.
Weird. Yeah. So I could care. I mean, it was great. I liked it. The Peter Parker's face worked. It was a good game. So if you haven't played it, I strongly recommend it. What was your favorite suit? This is stupid casual talk. I just want to know.
My favorite was the Sentai kind of whatever.
Oh, the strike suit? Yeah, that's so badass. So bad.
But I also did like the green one a lot. I think those are the ones I roll with. I didn't like the animated, and I really didn't play around with the Spider-Verse suit because to me it looks out of scale.
Those animated suits, they are too weird.
Yeah.
In the environment.
It's kind of, I mean, it is cool for like a split second.
Yeah.
I liked all of them. I did like the Spider-Man with like the kind of digital face.
Very cool.
I thought the classic suit obviously was great. The track suit, I think that was their creation, was really good too. I liked that one.
I didn't like the track suit and the promotional pictures that they showed, but it looks so, so good.
Yeah.
In game.
It's great. Play it.
I'm interested to see how Miles plays a factor into the next game. I wonder if they're going to like have side missions, sort of like, you know, you play one mission as Peter, one mission as Miles, or Miles has like maybe three or four missions.
I'm hoping there's some kind of multiplier. I know that sounds crazy, but I think it would be neat. If it's not like the primary focus, like this is a multiplayer game, like this game has multiplayer.
Yeah.
Because those portions where like at the beginning, spoiler, when you're doing the Rhino mission and you're Miles doing this stuff and seeing like Spider-Man.
There's no reason why there should be some, besides it maybe being hard to do, you know, in a game that is, you know, integrating that into that game. But it looks great. It looks fun. That was my favorite. Even though it's at the beginning of the game, it's one of my favorite parts.
Yeah.
So hopefully it's good. What else? Wonder Woman 84 came out over our break. I was really, really excited for it. In fact, this week's episode, our return episode, was propped up. I was like, this movie's going to be great. It's going to have a lot of hype. And then we're going to come back, our first episode, we're going to ride that wave, and we're going to talk about a Wonder Woman
book. Yeah.
I was like, this is going to be perfect. And I had a cigar, and I had my overalls, and I was like, this is going to be the marketing plan for all the ages.
We've got it down.
I need pictures of Spider-Man. And that's, I don't know why. Every time I think about newspapers, I think your boss at the newspaper back in the day was J. Jonah Jameson.
No, she was just, she was a country gal.
I just imagined that he worked at all newspapers everywhere.
Yeah.
And sidebar, sorry guys.
So yeah, it's a Wonder Woman. And I feel like we can do the reverse because Wonder Woman did not fulfill the promises that we felt. I don't know, not promises, but that she didn't fulfill the hype. I mean, the movie.
No. And it's not fair, to be honest. It's fell victim to like being pushed back so much, the pandemic. You know, I feel like it would have been a little more well-received if it was, I don't know.
I don't know. I feel like maybe they changed it to be a feel good movie because of the pandemic, but it just kind of, I feel like they water her down as a hero a lot. I would much rather see her, you know, Superman has these big battles. Of course, we don't want to see her destroying a city, but he has these big battles with Zod. And she's just like fighting this normal dude and kind of fighting this other lady for 30 seconds.
Especially reading the book that we read this week's podcast. Just what do you think of the movie in general?
I did not like it that much. It was just, the explanation I give to everybody is that it is the epitome of an 80s superhero flick. Like, it is corny. It has bad dialogue. The plot is serviceable at best. I'm sure that's my hot take, serviceable at best. But yeah, I mean, I just, you know, it got boring. I got bored, to be honest.
It was long.
Yeah.
It was 2.5 hours. It was a long movie.
I didn't even realize it was that long. So maybe it wasn't as bad as I thought.
I don't want to not like it because at some point it became cool to just completely crap on this movie.
Yeah.
I had people that hit me up, and then Murph was notorious for doing this back in the day. He didn't do it with this movie. He actually said that he enjoyed it, which is weird. but people, he would send me these reviews and like, "Hey man, look what this person said. Look what this person said." I'm like, I don't even know that person. Why would I give a shit what that person says about a movie? Like, okay, I can tell that it's like not well received, but I'm still going to watch it.
Yeah.
You know, I like to forge my own opinions. And so I went into it like, let's try to find the positives in it, you know? But it's long.
Yeah.
So for me, it was just a long movie. And like I said, the plot was, I would say, just okay.
Yeah.
And that's being nice. Maxwell Lord was great, even though he's not how I would have, you know, made him. Maxwell Lord is a little different in the comic books. And I try to not do that anymore. I try not to be like, the comics do this.
But yeah, well, huh.
I thought he was great. Pedro Pascal in his, you know, in his moment right now. So he killed it. I thought the Steve Trevor thing was pointless.
Yes.
Like, I get it. I feel like they could have did that whole thing without him in the movie. Like, maybe just tease the idea of her getting him back the whole time or something like that. You know what I mean? I just feel like him being in the movie was just weird to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 100%.
Like, I don't know. And, like, he wasn't even in the movie. Like, yes, he was in the movie, but then they did this whole thing where he was like, "Diana." And it was, like, just a random dude. And I was like, who the fuck is that guy? And then 80s montage style, you know, Mannequin. I don't know if you've seen Mannequin, but then it's him.
Yeah.
Like, so now it's just him the rest of the movie, this in this guy's body.
Right. Yeah.
And it's like, hey, you know, we're in love, so fuck this guy's life.
Yeah, I mean? He's like, just screaming in the back of his head.
Let me out of here. Yeah, so I thought that was just weird to me. I thought Kristen Wiig actually did a great job. I'm sad that because I had zero hopes that she was going to do good because she's really funny. I mean, she's talented in that aspect. So I was like, no, she's not going to do great. But she actually did a great job. Didn't get a lot of screen time. She was a secondary character at best.
Yeah.
Which kind of sucked. Like, I don't know why they spent so much time on Steve Trevor when they had this new dynamic between, you know, Diana and Barbara. That, and my main complaints are that it's too long, and I was over the web swings at the beginning.
So I didn't mind some of the way she was using that stuff, but when she...
But it was a lot, dog.
A lot, dog. That's the opposite of a hot dog.
It's actually multiple hot dogs and one bun. I'm working on the patent.
Yeah, so. Market that.
Yeah.
Can I get a lot dog? Anyway, I think that's
just a stand in a parking lot.
Yeah, that's just a one big sausage. You don't have to. Anyway, but when it gets ridiculous, in the preview, when she attaches to lightning, I was like, that's kind of cool.
It was cool. Do it once and it's cool.
Yeah, but when she uses it to magically extend to a fucking jet, like a airliner, no. way.
Okay. Yeah. So yeah, she did that, but there was some time, there was a few points, maybe once, maybe just been once, but she used it as like a propeller and just flew up. So like, why attach to that plane randomly? Like, okay. That whole scene is like, she needed to fly away.
Yeah.
Convenience, just convenient as hell. It's like, oh, planes fly by this all the time. Just like a lot. It's just a line of planes.
They're like waiting. Like the Jetsons.
Like, yeah. How long is that lasso? I imagine it would just be like wrapped around her whole body.
Yeah, it has some kind of magical. Okay, so again,
it's magic.
So yeah, corny things that bothered me in the movie is like, she's like, hold on, I've been practicing, or she's like, don't even.
I was angry at that part.
Yeah, she's like, hold on, I know how to do this, and then boom, and then she makes an invisible jet, and then so this
and then she's like, it's pointless because they have radar. It's like, well, then why'd you make it invisible?
Right. And then when she just learns how to fly because he taught her. Somebody had made a joke, like, said something about Wonder Woman can fly now, so she doesn't need a man. It's like, actually, the man taught her Bernoulli's principle, so she knew how lift works, apparently. She can form her hands to where she...
She can fly now.
And I'm okay with her flying, but it's just weird, like, it took her that long.
I thought she could fly the whole time.
No. She never showed any... apparently, that's just how she figured it out.
That's so dumb. That one thing, I forgot about that. That I was so mad about that.
There are a lot of pointless moments, I guess we would say. And I don't think we're definitely not trying to shit all over this movie. But
no, I like the movie because I think they made it. I think people misunderstood what it was. The World War II, or you know, the first movie was set in that time, so it was gritty. It had that action. And I feel like it portrayed that very well. Mm-hmm. This movie was in the 80s, and I feel like maybe these people weren't alive in the 80s, and we were barely alive in the 80s, like on the very, very
There was a lot of optimism in the 80s, though.
Yeah, but it was like very 80s, yeah. Like just people sort of careless. It was an 80s movie, and as someone that loves 80s superhero movies, you know, 80s, 90s superhero movies, I thought it was great. I thought it really nailed that.
Yeah.
And so like, people's complaint is like, it's cheesy or whatever, but I'm just like, the 80s were all cheese. Like, it nailed that.
You could almost even say, like, a pointless moment for me is when she goes back for this armor that really doesn't do anything, because she already knows how to fly, but she goes and gets this armor that has wings so she can fly. But to me, that's almost like, you know, a lot of movies, they have so much marketing behind them for
I was about to say that.
Toy sales and shit like that. So it's like, oh, we need a new costume so we can put two toys.
To me, it's like, so in the comics, like in Kingdom Come and all these big books where they have these big wars, she dons the Golden Eagle armor, which is like a big Wonder Woman thing. Mm-hmm. To me, it's like the X-Men movies. They had Age of Apocalypse, which wasn't the Age of Apocalypse, like, at all.
Mm-hmm.
They had Days of Future Past, which was like, I guess, kind of like Days of Future Past, but it's like the selling point. Like, look at this. You remember this from the comics. You loved it, right? Everybody always talks about this. We're going to put it in the movie.
Yeah.
Why? Just because.
Yeah.
And we created a character to give a background, because that's not even the story of that armor. They just made that character up for this movie. So that, take that out. This movie's like Spider-Man 3 to me. I like Spider-Man 3.
Yeah, I can enjoy Spider-Man 3.
I know a lot of people don't. For me, you take a lot of stuff out and it's a good movie. You take Venom out completely. You take Harry coming back as New Goblin, even though I loved his suit and all that. Just take all that other stuff out and it's a great movie. If you take a bunch of stuff out, cut this movie down to an hour and 45, maybe 2 hours, it's good.
Yeah.
Nah, it's enjoyable.
Yeah, enjoyable, yeah. So.
But like you said, one of my main complaints is, she's not really Wonder Woman, man. Like, she's just like a strong lady.
Yeah, she doesn't. I feel like she doesn't. I love Gal Gadot, and I mean, she's fucking gorgeous. I
give that movie 6 out of 10 just because she's in it. Like, it could be like a silent French film. and I would watch it.
I would probably much preferably watch that. French films can get a little naughty. but anyway, yeah, I mean, she's in it. I think she's a pretty good actress for what she does. I haven't seen her in a lot of other things.
No.
But I feel like...
I like her Wonder Woman. And Wonder Woman, the first one, she was...
Oh, yeah, I do too. I just don't... I feel like they don't really pull that character off. I think what makes her really strong is seeing her against these other characters like Superman, like Batman.
Yeah, like she fought Doomsday in that terrible movie. She got punched by Doomsday and she smiles. She's like, hell yeah. But then she's struggling to fight against the cheetah?
The wind.
Yeah, what is this movie? And so like the more I watched it again, because I'm just like, man, be that guy. Be that one guy that likes this movie and you can defend it. I'm just like, I'm just going to shut up.
Well, the price of admission was good too.
So this is the time of the podcast where we are going to review a book, a trade review, if you will. And so we're going to take a quick break to listen to some ads from our friends. And we'll be right back.
Listen, if you're like me, you're tired of going out on the hunt for great pops or NECA figures and finding empty or destroyed displays. That's where Galactic Toys and Collectibles comes in. They have a great selection of Funko, NECA, Gunpla, and trading cards. All your nerd essentials. Their stock is always rotating, so you never know when they'll have that thing that's sold out everywhere else. Use our affiliate link through my Instagram, SimonToast, in the description or on our website and surf their stock. You never know what you'll find and it will really help out the show. Are you on the hunt for great import collectibles for a great price? Well, check out SavioCalCustomsAndCollectibles.com. They have great figures and model kits based on your favorite anime, comic, or movie heroes. They sent us a 30-minute mission model kit and it was awesome. These are from Bandai, and they're modular mechs and can be mixed and matched with awesome accessories, and they make great army builders. From Nendroid to Mezco, these are your guys. They even do customs. Check out Xavier Cal, CustomsAndCollectibles.com. That's XAVIERCAL, CustomsAndCollectibles.com.
All right, guys, we are back. Thank you for listening to those ads. This is the section of the podcast where we get to business and we review a book. So as I mentioned before, we're trying to ride that wave of Wonder Woman hype, and we were going to review a Wonder Woman book. I think there's still a little bit of hype, even though it may be negative. So this might still work. We'll see. This week we are reviewing Wonder Woman Dead Earth. It was a DC Black Label book that was written and illustrated by Daniel Warren Johnson, which is kind of badass because you don't really see that often anymore. But they write an end illustrated. When Diana wakes up from a centuries-long sleep, she discovers Earth has been reduced to a nuclear wasteland. Now she's marooned in a dark and dangerous future, protecting the last human city from titanic monsters and struggling to uncover the secret of this dead Earth and how she may be responsible for it. So, initial thoughts.
I like anything where it puts the known superheroes in an unknown situation. It's not your normal everyday, and I don't know much about Wonder Woman in general. But it's not your Batman fights Joker. It's not your Superman fights Zod. Whatever. Yeah. It's not your Saturday morning cartoon kind of superhero thing. I like the more mature themes of it that I could see. And, I was excited to dive in from the opening pages.
So when I originally read this story, when it came out, it was the first issue came out, and I think that it got postponed. So it took 2 years for this entire story to come out. And so when I decided that this was something that I wanted to pitch to you that we read, I was already kind of like, I don't even think it's that good. But I wanted to give it a second chance and read it as a whole story. And I was impressed. I legitimately read it all the way through without stopping. I thought it was enjoyable. Like you, I like it when it's a different story. So whether Superman's dropped in a different world, Batman's dropped in post-apocalyptic, something, anything like that, I think it's great. Especially in this kind of story where everything's not clear. So Wonder Woman wakes up and she has no idea what's going on. You have little bitty threads of the backstory and just relationships between her and her mother and kind of her powers, explaining how powerful she really is.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't get too much, and then you don't really get too much until the actual like last issue, I think. And so
yeah.
I really appreciate that. And I was invested. I loved the art style. I know we'll talk about art in a little bit. Very different from a typical Wonder Woman mm-hmm. book. They typically draw her as this supermodel. And this
supermodel
one was
a white woman.
Yeah, and this one is a little more Amazonian. So I guess we'll go straight into kind of breaking down each issue. It's four issues in this Black Label series. And I'm going to say Black Label, it's probably becoming my favorite section of DC. It's sort of like the new Elseworlds. And Elseworlds used to be my favorite because I used to love these like alternate stories with these mm-hmm. characters in different settings. And so the first issue, you see the world. And I read it yesterday, so I'm a little far behind. But you see the world. It's destroyed. You see basically a survivor, or you see these survivors from a camp out foraging, trying to get supplies or whatever, right?
Yeah.
And they instantly, some of them get killed straight off the bat.
Yeah, like unimportant fodder characters. Like,
damn. I was like, okay, this is happening. And then I guess they stumble on what seems to be the Batcave. Mm-hmm. It's weird. I don't know. You know, I guess they're in Gotham. It's so barren that you don't really know where they're at. But then they're at Wayne Manor.
I love that transition, too, where this creature drops in and they kind of breaks the floor, and then they're all of a sudden they're like there. They're like
they're in Gotham City, and it looks nothing like Gotham City. It's like I said, post-apocalyptic Mad Max style environment. And then Wonder Woman busts out and just does work. And again, I love the way that Wonder Woman's drawn in this. I love the action sequences. I think it was great.
Yeah.
She's still super strong, but not as strong as she's used to. I think she gets hurt by this creature.
No, well, yeah, she gets hit, like bites through her arm.
Bites her, yeah. So it's cool to see, and I think we lose another character. I think there was like six, and then we were down to like three
mm-hmm.
or something like that. And they make their introductions. She doesn't know what's going on. She basically has no memory about this big war. And centuries have passed, and these people are like, hey, we don't know. We were born into this world. We just heard that the world was covered in fire, and that's all we really know.
Yeah.
So the story sets it up, like her trying to figure out what happened, and then her being very poetic about, like, God. It's like, it's a different Wonder Woman than I'm used to. She leans harder into, like, she is a god.
Yeah, part of it.
Yeah, like, I love, you know, the love you and the poetic stuff all happens very soon, it took me a second because I'm not used to Wonder Woman being like that. But I don't know, what'd you think?
Oh, I thought it was great. I'm with you. Like, I love the way she was drawn. I never know that DC is ethnic, I guess. I mean, she obviously, like you said, she looks like she's Amazonian. She looks like she's from an island.
Themyscira is an island, and she looks like she's an island chick.
Yeah. I like that she wasn't like overly busty and like had perfect, waist size, and she's cool looking.
She wasn't wearing her underwear.
You're all right. I thought it was, I like the sequence where she goes up and sees Bruce's skeleton, like the purple gloved bat suit.
That was one of my favorite moments, man. I'm a sucker for the purple gloves.
Yeah, super cool looking. And then when you get that vista of like all these craters just outside his mansion,
And not to mention, like, I just thought that's like a poster scene because it's just like Batman chilling on a couch, dead for years because mm-hmm. he's just a skeleton in a bat suit.
Yeah. I like it, man. I can't, like I said, I don't have, like, this could be my Wonder Woman continuity because I don't know enough about her.
Yeah.
And I think it's really cool. I've always, and the same reason that I like Old Man Logan, it's because I like, it's like the Green Goblin's speech. He's like, people like to see the heroes lose, it's like,
yeah.
the same thing. I kind of like to see a hero or two down and people go against the odds.
I appreciate it because she immediately wants to fill that role of savior. Yeah. And she goes back, they take her back to this camp. And these people are crappy. They really, like, they're just bad people. Like, they drug her immediately to gain favor because there's, you know, scarcity of food there. And I don't even know if this might be going into issue two. There's a scarcity of food, things like that. And so they take her to their camp where there's this creepy leader where he's like, oh, yeah, I'm going to make her my bride. And it's just like, fucking weirdo, man. Why is it always like weirdos survive and become leaders at the end of the world?
Because you got to step on, but you can't be kind. You got to make it. I do love, and that's still in issue one, but I do love when she's like, I belong to no man, and she kicks that table across the room.
Jackson.
So cool, man.
And then they send her to the pits. Again, I read this yesterday. I've read other comics. I shouldn't read comic books in between the story there. They send her to the pits. Somehow Cheetah's alive after centuries. I don't know. That was weird to me, though.
Well, and do they really explain, like, the timeline? Is it centuries?
Yeah, that's true. I don't know.
I don't know. I assume it's generations, couple decades at least.
Yeah, they don't clear. Hey, centuries would be a bit much.
But yeah, Cheetah coming out looking crazy.
Yeah, she has I thought it was so great. She had a cheetah head hand.
Yeah.
Which I thought was cool. Backtrack, one cool thing that I thought was great is that before Diana leaves the Batcave and joins these people on their quest, she takes Batman's utility belt, clamps it on. That's automatic badass moment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's not really going to use anything of that. And I don't think she does.
she doesn't. Yeah, you're
right. It just looks cool. And it serves as like a plot device later on.
Yeah.
But yeah, she ends up fighting Cheetah in a better fight than in the movie.
Right. Way cool.
And it just, the pacing is always a thing that is very important to me in comic books, especially if it's going to be four issues.
Uh-huh.
The pacing on this is very good without feeling rushed.
Right.
Even though because they explain that these survivors are just trying to survive. And so they automatically see that Diana is the strongest person. So they automatically just flip and they're like, oh, hell yeah, she's the person.
Yeah.
And then she sells them on like Themyscira being, you know, the land of milk and honey and all this stuff. Like, you guys would be good there. Not knowing what is really going on.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah. Crazy twists and turns. I had something and I forgot, but I did like you said, how quickly things develop. It's interesting, all these little like ex machina, Deus ex machina moments, like these, she's getting knocked around by a cheetah because she doesn't want to hurt her. And then all of a sudden like, oh shit, there's all these creatures outside the gate. You know, what are we going to do? They're overrunning the gates. This all, it's so funny. It's like the movie, you know, all these convenient plot devices that wait until you're watching to happen.
Well, how come the monsters never attacked before?
And mice like that. Cheetah looks crazy in this.
Again, the art, you and I are both suckers for the art style.
Yeah,
it's very genuinely. I can tell you right now that that's probably my favorite thing about comic books. And then, like, the story could be subpar, and I would say it's a great book. So, the action sequences very well illustrated, and not too much gore, enough more than a usual DC book.
You're right. Yeah, people get hurt, but it's not invincible. Like, people are getting straight up.
Yeah, people are good. And so she saves these people. They're on her side. I think we're going into issue two now, because then they're like, is that the issue where they go see to the Fortress of Solitude?
No. I think that's later on.
Oh, no, they go to Themyscira.
Yeah.
They go to Themyscira they're gathering all the troops. They're going to send them to Themyscira.
Right, yeah. She decides they're leaving.
And you have to remind me, Diana realizes that humanity is bad.
Yeah, when she gets to Themyscira, she talks to her mother.
That's what it is. She takes, so her and this character D, which is like a main character, her, D, and I think some other,
just one other person.
Yeah, they go to Themyscira, I guess, to, you know, scout ahead or something like that.
Yeah, basically, they go to Themyscira because they, you know, she said it's obviously going to be untouched by these wars. It always has been. And there's a little bit of foreshadowing about like what the war's happening on a flashback beforehand, just her mom going out, seeing that the ocean is rising, on their island. She asked the guard, like, why is that statue underwater? Did it fall or something? And she's like, no, the waters are rising.
Yeah.
Quick take. But, anyway, they go to Themyscira with, like you said, Dee and this other dude that he kind of notes things, and you think he's going to make it. Like, you think he's going to be main character for a long time. And they go in and they find her mother. Well, they find Nubia.
Nubia.
Yeah. And she's just,
which
like
is cool this, that Nubia is in it. Nubia is a character that, years and years ago, I mean, back in the Silver Age comics, it was, Wonder Woman's sister, which they call her, but she's basically numerous times throughout the year, she takes over as Wonder Woman. It's like Black Wonder Woman. Oh, I don't want to discredit this character at all. I'm just summarizing what it is. And it's cool that they made her sort of the mentor role. Like, they saw her training her in the beginning of the first issue, I think.
Yeah. And this one, she, when they get to the island, she's like this Wraith Knight.
She looks badass.
Yeah. She looks real crazy. They send her into the pits. She sees her mother in this like cave-in, just this little shadowy section of like a domed area. And she's talking to her, and all of a sudden she sees she's like this slug.
Giant, creepy slug lady.
Which is interesting, because at this point in the story, I thought that it was going to be like, I've missed you too, be one of us, you know, that kind of thing. But it instantly goes into like, no, let me just show you what happened.
Yeah.
And, you know, there was this war, and you still don't get the full picture here.
No.
But the humans like sent all these nukes to Themyscira, and it warped all the people, and you find out all these creatures were Amazons.
Yeah.
Like, all these creatures they've been fighting are all Amazons, and the reason they're attacking humanity is because they want to kill them off, because they tried to kill them off.
Mm-hmm. Which I don't know if you learn now or later on. This might be a spoiler, which it doesn't matter. If you're this far in the podcast, you know this is a spoiler. But like, you realize that it's actually Themyscira's fault, because they were not happy with how Earth was handling Earth. So they tried to step in. Earth, aka America, obviously is not going to go very well with that. They say, hey man, don't you come over here telling us how and where to drill for oil. All right.
Yeah.
We're going to do whatever we want to do. You got a problem with it. You did. And you probably didn't learn that until the third issue, which, so at this point, Diana is angry with everybody. She's like, you know what? I know I rallied you guys together, made you leave your home, traveled across all this way, waste all your resources, but fuck you guys. You guys are humans. I'm out. And she just leaves.
Well, and Cheetah saves her and this D girl, because that other guy gets straight up chopped in half.
Nubia. It's just it's like straight Game of Thrones style. You think he's a main character and he's going to make it, but then all of a sudden, swap.
Yeah. They characterize him. They're like, he's like, oh, I can figure things out. I cataloged the bat belt, you know, so
yeah,
I kind of know things. And then I built you this boat. Yeah. And then he just gets rib cage removed. But in that battle, a cheetah comes down on Pegasus, which is a cool moment.
Good
splash page. And there's a cool moment between Nubia and Cheetah, and Cheetah kind of gets her shit rocked a little bit. But it's like you said, these battle sequences are great. She knocks off Nubia's helmet and you see what has happened to her, which is penis crazy eyes. Yeah, she's she's got them penis eyes. Yeah, at that moment, like you said, after she's talked to her mother and she's talked to Cheetah, like, she's done with humanity. She drops this girl off. She's like, yeah, well, you're on your own. Go F yourself.
And it's important because Dee is the second main character of this story.
Mm-hmm.
Because she represents the survivors, humanity. And she, at first, was like, this lady's crazy. We don't know her. You know, she's an outsider. And then she gets romanticized by the, you know, all the stuff that one of them is saying, and also seeing how powerful she is.
Right.
So then she is actually the voice that gets the people to follow her. And so now it's an ultimate betrayal because she's like, I believed in you. You know, yeah. I put all my faith in you. And now you're saying, who gives a shit? And then you're leaving.
Yeah. Snip, snip.
So she develops this hatred for her. And it plays really well. Like the art really amps the emotion up because it's good.
Yeah, they do a lot of good character close-ups where you can really feel that emotion.
Yeah. Well, and I guess it helps having the writer be the illustrator because he knows exactly,
yeah,
you know what I mean, the moments. So then she leaves and she says, you know, Cheetah's like, where do you want to go? And she's like, well, I got to find him. So obviously talking about Superman. But she's like, hey, you know, has anybody heard from him or anything like that? And it's very cryptic because she's like, you know, at the end of the war, people tried to, you know, thousands of people would stand out the Fortress of Solitude and bang on the door and he would never open it.
Mm-hmm.
And then they go to the Fortress of Solitude, which I thought it was cool.
Yeah. So that's going into issue 3.
Yep.
And you see more of the background. She talks to Cheetah.
And it plays more in a plot device. Cheetah is still alive to serve as the missing link. Like she connects what happened in the war to
right
where they are. Yeah,
the missing links. Who? Oh, the cheetah. Yeah, big cats. Anyways.
I got you.
Meow. So yeah, like you said, she's there. She understands. She kind of talks about how Diana was trying to be a peacekeeper between Themyscira and the rest of humanity, like you said, aka US.
Yeah.
And those fail, and so Themyscira attacks, and humans do what humans do, and they were like, nuke them bastards. It's better than losing.
Yeah.
Everybody being dead is better than losing.
Yeah, that's so weird.
And then Cheetah kind of says she blocked the rest out when she starts talking about how the humans were looking for someone to blame when Themyscira, basically, the result wasn't what they wanted, so they took superheroes like Cheetah, I guess, and altered her, and you see this kind of splash page with all these dead cheetahs, like beheaded cheetahs, and
crazy to me. And then she was just like, that's all I want to talk about.
Yeah, they grafted a cheetah to her forearm, and I don't know, it's interesting.
But it was weird. It was weird that that happened so fast, and it was such a glossed over explanation because she gets to the Fortress of Solitude.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody knows it's like the stupid key that only Superman can lift, but Wonder Woman's super powerful, so she can too, but she struggles. She still gets it open. And then this robot, which, fuck, I love this robot. I'm a sucker for robots, man.
Yeah.
I love this robot, Superman. She's like, are you Clark? And he's like, well, a little bit Clark, yeah. Which I thought was great. Very cryptic, but this whole story is like obviously not giving you too much too soon. And then it serves as a plot to, you know, let her know the full story.
Yeah. And there's quite a bit there where kind of in between those portions where, you know, her mother decides she's going to attack all humanity. This girl, Dee, had found the golden lasso. Yeah.
Lasso of truth.
Out of nowhere.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, because he uses it on the former leader of the...
the mother troops. Sends Nubia off to go find some more of the sisters. Yeah, some of the more mutated sisters.
To lead an attack on
Diana
and humanity, I guess.
Right, yeah. And so this, like you said, the splash page where you see all the skeletons outside of Fortress of Solitude is really cool.
Yeah.
But it's like... It, to me, it's crazy because there's all these moments like that where you're like, damn, you'd think somebody'd be like, oh man, a lot of people died. Maybe he's not here. You know?
Yeah. And also how they get out there. I thought that place was supposed to be like hidden from the world.
Yeah. Right. And they have like signs and shit.
Fast forward a little bit at the end of the issue, Dee gets there on a motorcycle.
Uh huh.
I was like, what? How did she get there on a motorcycle? They had to use Pegasus to fly there. That part to me, I was just like, this is the one section that I did not like. She's getting off a motorcycle. I made it. Across the ocean?
Yeah, I made it.
What?
Yeah, where are all these places? And obviously, it just serves the story, and it's fun.
Yeah.
But it is kind of like, where are these? Is it like a Metropolis and Gotham situation, like in Batman versus Superman, where they're just across the river?
It's like, oh, I see Superman over there. Oh, man. Okay, so she's getting healed, I guess, or something like that. So they're talking to...
The first big breaking sequence of issue 3 is after she speaks to the robot, you know, this cool robot, like he says, like, I need to speak to...
Yeah, where's the real Superman?
Yeah, where's Clark? And he goes, you don't remember? You killed him.
That is a jaw-dropping moment. Like, what?
Yeah, this great image of him with just this caved-in chest, like a hole.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
I love the imagery of him and Bruce, like how they're dead.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's that's the Trinity, all three of them. And then, honestly, she's not the weaker one, but... The more popular ones are Batman and Superman.
Yeah.
And so it's just, to me, it was just great. Like, they're just buff like.
Yeah.
And she's the one that survived. So, and then they go into the story.
Yeah.
That's when the robot tells her the story, right?
Right. Yeah. There's more still. It's like, I really enjoying this story that I'm kind of thinking about it now. What I really like all these perspectives. Like, you're not just getting pieces of the story. You're getting, like, this person's opinion on what happened. So... You know, everybody thinks that all these craters were caused by the bombs, but she stopped most of the bombs.
Yeah, her gauntlets of submission, which is a big deal with Wonder Woman. If she takes them off, she is really this extremely powerful character. She does, in this book, she doesn't know that. Mm-hmm. In main comic books, she knows that. In this book, she doesn't know that. She takes them off and she just starts going to work on all these bombs. And Superman is fighting the Amazonians because he works for the president pretty much.
Yeah.
And he's protecting people. That's what Superman, and I like that Superman. That's what Superman does. He doesn't really give a shit. And he always says, hey, I don't want to fight you, man. I just don't.
Right.
But I will.
Well, and that's what's interesting is, like, he is kind of apolitical. He's just stopping the Amazonians. But when he sees the bombs, he like flies in, breaks through a wall, and it's like talking to the president, like, what the hell did you do?
Yeah, he's like, come on, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, because Superman is like a nuclear bomb. He's like, you got me. Why are you doing that?
Right.
He's like, I had it under control.
But like you said, she's now unbridled. She blows a lot of these bombs up that are headed towards Themyscira. She misses a couple, and they show it just like obliterate the island.
Uh-huh.
And that's when she gets so pissed off that she starts fighting Superman.
Yeah, because instead of Superman going straight to Themyscira to save them, and I didn't notice until you said it, they launched them everywhere, not just Themyscira. So he says,
yeah,
they shot a missile to Smallville, so I had to go to Smallville.
Yeah, they mentioned it earlier, and they mentioned it that the magic around Themyscira had set the navigation off on some.
So
there were some bombs that went askew.
See, that's why I was wondering, because he pops up like, listen, I'm sorry that just happened, but my family was going to die.
Yeah.
So I obviously went there first. I got here just a little too late. It's Superman. I like that no one thinks that Superman's allowed to make mistakes or be late or anything mm-hmm. like that. And then it's just, you can tell that he himself is just like, I'm sorry. Like,
right.
What do you want me to do? I traveled across the world in seconds. I was seconds too late. Like, I'm sorry. And she didn't want to hear it.
I ain't trying to hear that.
Yeah. And he says, again, I don't want to fight you. We're friends. You know, we're very close. And after the first punch, he gets his shit rocked. He's like, well, okay. I guess we can fight.
Yeah.
But then, man.
Oh, yeah.
That's.
But she like slaps him. That's what I like. She slaps him. Yeah. That's the first hit.
Yeah. What do you think about the fight between them? It was glorious.
Oh, yeah. It's really cool. It's like seeing a boxing match in slow motion when you see, like, the way he illustrates, like, the wrinkles, like, how everything moves. Like, he does a really good job of doing that. It's almost like this guy kind of reminds me of a messier tread.
Yeah.
Anyway, I really liked it. And you can tell that Superman's getting really pissed off, but he just can't do anything.
It's too powerful,
which
is cool to see. And it does a really good job at explaining, like, yeah, the bombs destroyed stuff, but Wonder Woman and Superman's fight, like, set it over the edge. Like, mm-hmm. that was destroying whatever was left.
Yeah, like, it shows... It shows that her pushing him into the city at like supersonic speeds and blowing up half the city.
Yeah, just like another bomb going off just because they're fighting. And then they land at Superman's resting point at the Fortress of Solitude, which I thought was just an insane. I don't know why this guy keeps so much damn kryptonite around.
Yeah.
I don't know what his deal is. But she grabs hands full of kryptonite and then just JoJo's Bizarre Adventure just...
Yeah, the mirror fist.
Over like, and over.
Yeah.
He's dead. And then the final punch through the chest, which I was just like,
yeah,
it looks great, but then you also feel it because it's like, it's almost like you see that she's blind with rage. She's also overpowered. She doesn't know how to control that power. Angry. And like, if she was in control, she wouldn't kill Superman because it wasn't his fault.
Right. And at that last moment, you see, like, she takes those breaths when he's, because he just dies. He doesn't even, there's no redemption there. Yeah. He doesn't say, I'm sorry.
There's no conversation. She didn't say, I'm sorry. She kills him.
Yeah. He's dead. He slumps in the chair. She slumps on the steps.
Yeah.
And that's it.
And then Batman pops up with his bat gadgets.
Yeah.
That man's got a plan for everything.
Yeah. But at that point, it kind of goes and she's healing in the fortress and she's back in the present day. Yeah.
How cool is Super Robot though, man? That dude was so cool, man.
Yeah.
I thought it was just so cool. Like, cause she's sad when she wakes up. Or I guess she passed out. I don't know why she was getting healed for.
You know, I think she like threw up because she was
remembering.
Yeah, she was kind of passed out. Because of the shock, I guess.
And she wakes up and she's just like overridden with guilt. And she's like, Clark, I'm sorry. And he's like, hey, man, I told you when you walked in, I'm only part of Clark. I don't give a shit about anything.
Yeah.
None of that matters to me.
Means nothing.
Yeah. And that girl pops up at the same time.
Yeah. Just a little after that. Uh huh.
And then she wraps the lasso around Wonder Woman and she tries to figure out, like, hey, you know, why'd you leave? What are you going to do? Lasso of the Truth type thing. And then the story pretty much gets everybody up to speed at this point.
Yeah.
Like the survivors, the representation for the survivors are on the same page. You know, and Wonder Woman is obviously like, yes, my people are bad. I need to stop them and rebuild the world because I destroyed it.
Right.
And then Super Robot Man... gets this weird ass box, which I was like, what is that? Why would you do that? So cryptic. And he's like, hey, Batman knew you were gonna be here. This fucking, I hate Batman, dude.
Well, he just said,
I know, but
he's like, there's a human, somebody, only a human could do this.
Because the dialogue was like this. He was like, when he first, he's like, you said your name is D, right? He said you would want this. And I was just like, what?
Yeah.
Batman. This is the worst. He's just a dude, man. He's just a fucking dude.
That's true, yeah.
He's smart, but he's just a fucking dude.
I feel like at that point, he's not saying like...
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, he's not saying... He knows your name is D.
Yeah, I know. But when I read that, I was just like...
Yeah, it does definitely come off that way.
Fucking Batman. Because then they also show like... Or I guess a few pages later, they show... the robot talking to Batman like, hey, we could make you a robot too if you want to be a robot. Batman's like, nah, fuck that.
Well, that's actually, so that's getting into, that's issue four. But the end of issue three, when she is like, she's got Clark on the slab laid out and she's like, it's not enough. I'm sorry, Clark, whatever. And you think it's going to be his thing. And then she rips his skull and his backbone out, which he has so many vertebrae.
How unnecessarily badass was that?
It was very cool. And I was like, what I don't like is that his skull just still has like hair and shit on it. It makes me uncomfortable. But when she makes this mace out of Superman's skeleton.
Yeah. And the Lasso of Truth.
Right. And it's going to be like this super weapon. It's just, I love it. But at the same time, it was so macabre. I was like, damn, that is.
Like I said, it was unnecessarily like. That's badass, but like, did she need that?
Yeah. I feel like he had something else secret in there, but you know, whatever.
Because they also had that, because right after that, they're like, oh, hey, I got this closet full of weapons.
Yeah. Yeah, I got all this.
Like, she could have got some from there.
I got all this stuff you could use.
Yeah, that was a badass moment. But then, yeah, issue four, they go back to the people, the survivors, and the rest of the Amazonian monsters are attacking with Mom, who also, we forgot to mention earlier, D, the secondary main character, walks up to unknowing in the situation. This is issue two. Unknowing to the situation, Wonder Woman's mom has her, you know, in a, you know, is bracing her and talking to her, just loving embrace. She doesn't know what's going on, so she comes in, slices her hands off. Like, get off of her. So Wonder Woman's mom doesn't have any hands at this point. Not that she also has like a million slug arms and shit like that, but
yeah, it's kind of interesting how that was a little glossed over in general. Like, it was a big deal, but it wasn't. Yeah. She got wrapped up and whatever. But yeah, like you said, beginning of four, it's Batman and robot
talking about
robot soups
gift,
talking about the thing, and then he's like, I don't want to do this, but I have to heal you because you're the only one that can restore the earth.
I thought that was good. I like that, because before he says that, you give like this, he's holding her, he's taking her to taking her someplace to heal, something, you know, something along the lines of that. So you feel like Batman's doing this weird, like, loving moment thing, but then he's like, I wish I could kill you.
Mm-hmm.
But it also shows, like, I don't want to do that.
I like the costume that they gave her throughout this. Even when you see her in this classic costume, it's cool.
Same. And I thought it was great. I thought that that whole moment with Batman was probably one of my favorite Batman moments in comics. It's weird. Puts her in the thing, and then he's just like, the end of the world. He sits there and he laughs and he fucking dies.
Yeah, he has himself a drink and that's it.
I thought it was great, man.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, but then it goes into the final sequences, which is really cool. They've got the heroes going, even Robot Soups is going. They've got a flying motorcycle and Pegasus, and they're all going to where they last left the humans, which was kind of like on this peninsula with a lighthouse.
Yeah.
It gets crazy real fast because, like, you think it's going to be the same kind of thing, and all of a sudden there's this giant, giant monster among all the other monsters that they've been fighting this whole time, or Amazonians. Nubia's, like, task was to find these big, big guys.
Yeah.
But as they're going through, you know, they're I don't know, it's just like a whole bunch of fighting. It's cool.
It's like a the whole last issue is just like a big fight.
Yeah, and Nubia truly does start to look, she's riding like this dragon thing, which is also an Amazonian, if you think about it. But she's really like a ring wraith right now.
Yeah.
They've got guns and shit, because the previous leader was like, oh, I also have been hiding this stuff from the old world.
Yeah.
But she starts whacking people with Superman's skull, and the motion in those sequences is really cool, but it's funny because it makes it look like he has like 5,000 vertebrae.
Yeah. It goes back to the magic lasso being able to extend infinitely.
Yeah. And she feels bad, but she's just like knocking the shit out of other Amazonians.
You mentioned Robot Superman, which I, again, leaning back to what I said I liked about Superman in this book earlier, is that he's, in the previous issues, he's just beating the crap out of Amazonians, but they make it very clear to show his remorse. I don't want to fight you. I don't want to fight you.
Mm-hmm.
And even this robot Superman is fighting Nubia, I think, or somebody. And he's like, hey, I don't want to fight you. We could talk this out. So it's like, that is one of Superman, no matter what part of Superman it is, it's his very core. He's like, I don't want to fight you. We can talk. We can figure this out. We can heal you guys, is what he says. And then that giant Amazon monster just comes in, clamps, and I was like, no!
Yeah, so sad, so sad. And it really does show, like, that's, I feel like that's one of the minor lessons in this book, which is, like, any post-apocalyptic thing. It's like, you got to think of yourself.
Yeah, because Superman doesn't fit in this world, especially if he's not, like, Superman.
Right.
Like, the Boy Scout doesn't win.
God, man, it is sad. Like, watching it again, I've got it on my screen, and it's sad seeing it a second time.
So I was just like, damn, Superman, that was like one of my favorite characters in the book. It's so minor.
Yeah, and he doesn't care. You know, he doesn't feel anything. He's just a damn robot. But
no.
And he's drawn really cool. I like the style of the robot.
Me too. It's very like Iron Giant kind
of. Like,
you know what I mean? Like, it's just like arm, it's not overly robotic, it's just like a very simple,
yeah. He looks like he's made up of, I mean, he's got a lot of greebles, is the term, like, to make things look complicated, right?
Yeah.
So he's got a lot of greebles, but he just looks like pipes and, like, you know, a skeleton, like a skull. And so we find out that this secret thing, she starts getting her ass rocked by Nubia. And you find out that the secret thing is a way to restore her powers. And Dee has this in her possession. This guy that's been leading the humans, she's asked him, you know, clear me a path so I can get to Wonder Woman. And she almost gets killed.
Yeah, she's like, sliced in the side or something like that.
But she hits her with this hypodermic needle full of
God juice.
Yeah. Yeah, God juice. I was trying to think in Pulp Fiction, he hits her with that shit.
Oh, no, that's adrenaline.
Yeah, hits her with a shot of adrenaline. Gets her, and then she just, Diana's fine. But even then, you know.
Super Saiyan.
Yeah, she doesn't, Dee does not want to give this to her. She says, like, sure. Thank you.
I don't have a choice.
Yeah, exactly. It's not like I wanted to.
Yeah.
But then, you know, regretfully, Diana just basically destroys everybody.
She eviscerates everybody.
Yeah.
Except for her mom.
Right.
It's a cool back and forth between her and her mom. She's like, I'm not going to kill you, man. And the mom's like, is this the moment where you strike down your mother? And she's like, no.
Yeah.
And so she leaves her mom alive, even though her mom orchestrates the entire thing.
Yeah, her mom just goes back into the sea, handless.
She should have killed her.
Yeah, holds her nubs.
and that's pretty much how it ends. They take the survivors to Themyscira. She fulfills her promise.
They bury all the Amazonians, the humans, yep. Like, do the right thing and bury all these bodies.
Yeah, because Diana's content with doing it herself, but then the humans actually, they show growth. So they help her. They go to Themyscira. Dee's alive. And they have a good interaction at the end, the last few pages. She's like, you know, they basically reconcile. She says, I put all my faith in you. Like, how am I, you know, prove to me that you're not going to let me down? She's like, I can't do that.
Yeah.
And she only has one of her gauntlets of submission, which I thought was a good representation. Like, I'm just wearing this as a reminder. Because she asked her, does it work?
Yeah.
You only have one. She's like, no. So it just shows, like, I'm just wearing this as a reminder to myself. Like, I need to keep it in check.
Yeah.
So.
And then, yeah, they have that. The last panel, last page is like, will you help me revive this? You know, like you said, it's like this God talking to a human. They're working together. Help us, you know, get this thing sorted.
And then it ends, which is a perfect ending. Don't need a sequel. Don't need anything like that. And you and I go on record as saying, I love self-contained stories. And for it to not have any like major cliffhangers or like her mom not creeping in the shadows or anything weird like that.
Yeah, like, I'm going to get you.
Yeah, I thought it was perfect. I really, really enjoyed this.
I did too. I definitely didn't want to start out my review by saying I loved it, but I did. I thought it was great. So many good things. I mean, if you want to just talk about the art in general.
Let's talk about the art real quick.
Yeah, so... art in general was great. I love the sketchiness of it. He just straight up inked the pencils with no cleanup at all. I love the way they drew her like a wild woman, you know, like she looks like someone that lives on an island. Like not just an island. She looked like
someone that could beat the shit out of
people. Yeah, like a person that's not like naturally beautiful person that doesn't spend all her time like working out and everything. That's just how she looks.
Yeah, because like I said earlier, Wonder Woman is like a supermodel in all these. She has perfectly, you know, manicure, perfect hair. She's wearing her underwear everywhere. Yeah. It's just, this is an Amazon. Like, if you think about Amazonians, I think about like the big chicks in Futurama. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, that's what I think about Amazonians. Like, those rough, like.
Death by Snoo Snoo.
Yeah, those chicks. And so this, I've definitely got a rougher feel. Not saying that she was like a gross looking chick.
No.
It was definitely like exotic islander.
Yeah, she almost looks like a South Asian islander.
Yeah, maybe kind of like Moana, like an Amazonian Moana.
Yeah, but the colors were really great. So the colorist was somebody else and they did an amazing job really following and filling out these pages. The sequences, I mean, they did a great job.
Yeah, the thing,
Daniel Warren Johnson did a great job.
The art to me, again, I love the rough style. They really pulled off something that is hard to pull off, and you don't appreciate it until you see a book like this. Real action sequences, like in this book, like it felt like an action movie, sort of.
Yeah,
and then as we mentioned already, the actual expressions from the characters' faces. They had a lot of close-up moments. They left off dialogue to provide emphasis on the face, which to me, if you can really do that in the book, it puts you in a different level. You know what I mean?
Yeah. They did a good job of creating motion, emotion.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just so, it's great. I can't say it enough. They did. It's so good. I really, if anything pulled me in, I mean, I love the story, but if anything pulled me in, it was the art, which obviously
always happens to us.
Yeah.
That's the only reason we gave Three Jokers a positive review, because that story was bad.
Yeah. Wonk.
But yeah, I really enjoyed it. I'm glad you enjoyed it. I always, again, as I say every episode, I always get nervous on making you read these books, because it's just like, I hope there's one day that there's a story, you and I have a lot of the same interests, but I hope there's one day where you're just like, I hated that. And I'm like, well, I liked it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the whole time I was reading this, all I could think was like, obviously a movie, I don't think this could be a movie, but
no.
feel like even her origins and talking about, like, she sees Trevor, falls in love with him. I like
it. Yeah, that's something we didn't talk about. They showed Trevor in there, and the first time she referenced, this is one of my favorite moments in the book, which I hate that we didn't reference it.
Yeah,
the first time she references him, it's a positive light.
Yeah,
but then she really thinks about it the second time, he has his hand on his gun.
Yeah, automatically, like, the tune to violence.
Yeah, so it's just like, it was great to see those two parallel thoughts with the same image.
Yeah. And that's kind of what I was, that's
sorry,
what I really, no, that's all right. That's what I really liked about it. I feel like they could have done more in the movies with those kind of origins and talking about how she was created and things like that. I don't know. I mean, I don't know much about, I know what Wonder Woman comes from a kinky dude that was having like,
like the actual story of how she was made.
Yeah.
With the submission and shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like her being made from clay and things like that. That is an origin story that I would love to have seen in the movies, because that is her, even in the main DC continuity, is how she's made. But they don't really talk about that. They just talk about her dad and Wonder Woman 84, where she's like, my dad knows magic. He taught me how to make things invisible.
Yeah. Hold on. Let me command
this. It's like, what? But yeah, I'm with you. It was... The art's amazing. Story was great. It wasn't too deep.
Oh, I'm sorry. One thing I was going to say. Sorry to interrupt you. Hold that thought. One thing I was going to say, that I love the artwork. There were only a few moments where things were kind of out of proportion, or she would have like a weird, her arm would be drawn kind of weird or whatever. Not that I hated it, but it did. It was almost too fast and loose with the rest of it.
Yeah.
Like, I enjoyed so much of it, but these little things, I was like, is her arm out of socket right now? Like, her bicep is longer than her
forearm. Yeah. There was one scene, I know exactly what you're talking about. I think both of her arms were fully extended, and it's like her bicep was like way down here.
Yeah. And it's not just it's not just how it's drawn to show depth.
It was just proportionally weird. Yeah.
Yeah. It was just odd.
There was one scene specifically that I remember thinking that.
Arms
are weird.
I don't want it to be all positive all the time.
Yeah.
We do. I mean, there are things that I would change, but.
Oh, yeah. My one complaint is the traversing of the environment.
Yeah.
Like, they were conveniently in Gotham, which is that's okay. But then, like, she rode a motorcycle to the Fortress of Solitude. Like,
yeah.
I don't like that. But yeah, the story was great. It wasn't too deep. It was simple.
Yeah.
It was what it was.
And I do like the conflict that it created, though, the internal conflict, because it's kind of like Superman, I know, has had this conflict a lot, or he did in the movie, I think, in Man of Steel. It's like, are you going to go for the Kryptonians, or are you going to be here for the humans? Like, you were raised there. You love humans. You want to take care of them. That's why you're here.
But these are your people.
Right. So, you know, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
I liked it.
Yeah. I can't.
I could dissect it and find some stuff I don't like, but I feel like, I like it. You know, it's easier to dissect it and find things that you hate than reading a bad book and dissecting it and finding things that you like. You know what I mean?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. And there's just really, I can't find a lot, other than those few like art things, there's not a lot that I just couldn't. I can't think of anything aside from convenience of circumstance. Deus Ex Machina, things like that, which are present everywhere. But that, I agree, like, you know, she knew exactly where to go on the peninsula. She didn't know even where she was at first, but she was like, oh, hold on, we'll get here, and then I just need this dinky little motorboat, and it'll take us to Themyscira. Uh-huh.
Yep.
Like, okay. And then Cheetah was there, and it's like her arch nemesis, I guess. I don't know much about their history.
Yeah.
So it's kind of
it was just
interesting connection, but...
But it worked.
And there's no other heroes at all.
At all. That's what I thought was weird.
They did kind of explain that away. that, you know, I only assume like people like Martian Manhunter, Green Lantern.
Oh yeah, they did. They said that people went somewhere more appreciative.
Yeah, yeah. I assume they're speaking of those superheroes, but.
But like, what about the Green Lantern?
I don't know. Yeah, it's like, do they just decide it's a dead sector? And
their job is to protect that environment. Like, and Earth has like freaking 12 Green Lanterns. Where are those guys?
Yeah, where's Guy Gardner? He seemed like he would really enjoy.
He's probably somewhere with his pants off, being weird.
With the bowl cut.
Getting the chili bowl haircut. All right, so I liked it. You liked it. We enjoyed the art. It's great. We have...
Oh, yeah. Got a real deal guy here. Boom. Grading chart.
Very cool. This is so cool. Simon got these printed for us. I think we're going to do a smaller scale for you guys at home.
Yeah.
What would you give this?
I'm going to say a C4. It's explosive.
Okay. I'm going to go D6.
Oh, yeah.
So you think it's going to be bad. You pull it out and it's scrunched. It's going to be bad. You're like, oh, my God, what did I do? But then you're like, oh, that's toast.
Oh, yeah, that's pretty good toast.
That's toast.
Crunchy. Yeah, I can agree with that.
That's where I'm at. So yeah, we're going to print these on a smaller scale for you guys, but this works for the show because you can see them.
Yeah.
I graded right here.
Yeah, I'd say C4. I think, I don't know. It was good. I enjoy my toast a little lighter sometimes.
Yeah.
It was good. It would be interesting to see the story develop. I love how simple it is, but I'm a kind of person where now I want to know everything about part, even if it's just a side story of this. Like, what about these other superheroes? What about, where were they when all this was happening? You know, even Batman, like, I know Batman gets a little bit too much, but he was only in this part and this part. Where was he in between?
Bat family.
Yeah. Are they all just dead? Is this an alternate universe where you never had a Bat family? Like,
that's true too. Could be alternate universe. All right. So that is the review of Wonder Woman Dead Earth. I want to get to a point where if there's a way to do like an Amazon, like wish list type thing, but like, not wish list. It's like, hey, if you liked this book, you can get on Amazon, use this link.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
We'll work on that later. That was on my to-do list. Next time, I'll have it done. We got a lot of things working, though. Before we go and say goodbye, this is a relatively long episode, but I feel like once I edit it, it won't be that long. Once I take out all my X-Men hate. Which is funny because I went to take a break. If you're watching the visual version on Patreon, you'll know that I had to take a potty break. But if not,
you don't know. You don't get those behind the scenes.
You have no idea. So speaking of Patreon, we have a Patreon that is going to be active now. Various tiers. And again, Simon and I aren't trying to be rich off of anything, but like, there's things that we want to do. Like, we want to do giveaways for you guys. And I would like to, you know, curate some, for me, like, comic books is a passion of mine. So I would like to curate stories. Like, someone hits us up like, hey, I like Moon Knight, then I could curate a box of like the best Moon Knight stories and send it to you. I wouldn't like charge you for that, but I would also need to have money to do that. Yeah, you know, yeah, like, yeah.
It's expensive, you know.
Like, hey, Lex, I'm a fan. I support your Patreon. I like Moon Knight. Oh, I got the perfect Moon Knight for you. Boom. So the Patreon is sort of to supplement some of the things we're going to do. Simon mentioned to me the other day that he wants to do a monthly giveaway, which I believe we are doing.
Yeah.
But this is the type of thing, like, it would be easier for us, especially shipping is the main thing.
Yeah, shipping gets very expensive.
You know, because we have people that are in the UK and people that are in all, which is expensive for us to ship out that way. And so it's just, we have a website. We've recently come into press access with companies like Image, Warner Brothers, various smaller indie comic book companies, which we want to, you know, highlight them on. So we have a website now. To pay for the domain name, it costs money. And like, Simon and I aren't broke boys, but we're also like, you know, how do I explain to my wife that I am paying $200 for just a hobby? It's just,
yeah, right.
It's like one of those things that's like, we also have to be adults about things. So it's like, we're not trying to cash in on you guys, but we're also trying to provide more of an experience for the podcast. So Patreon's active, various tiers, which I think are very good tiers, which are, and personally are way more than a lot of people do, for their tears, but
they're happy tears, yeah. You could almost say
tears of joy. if you will. But do me a favor, check it out. If you do enjoy the podcast, there is just a $3 tier, which is just showing support. Think about the things that you waste $3 on. I think I lost $3 yesterday. Just, I have no idea what happened to it.
You need a new wallet.
I do. It's just a sweatpants with holes in my pocket. In general, if you like the podcast and you want to see us do more of these things, that would be great. And so that's what the Patreon's there for. Don't ever feel obligated to do it. We're good. We're eating. I'm still buying comic books. So I'm still, buying figures.
Yeah.
We're good. It's just, we would like to do more for you guys. So.
Yeah. Yeah. It's more of like, it's going to be a return on your investment. Yeah. The more that you can handle, the more that we can send things out.
It's really
send
shipping.
Out more pictures.
I mean,
whatever.
That's the thing. It's really shipping because like a lot of the stuff I want to send people, like I have a massive comic book collection full of books that I've enjoyed over the years that I am okay with parting with, but it's like, damn, say 50 people, 500 people hit us up like, hey man, you said you had those books, where are they at? I'm like, well, that's a lot of money. Yeah. For me to send something out as an act of kindness. So it's just kind of supplementing things like that.
And speaking of, like, right now, we're obviously going to try to make this open as much as we can, yeah. But if expense is too much, we might have to bring it into the U.S. I don't know. It just really depends.
Well, I'm going to say right now, we're just going to do U.S. Just because we do have a very strong base in the U.K. We were like 75, ranked 75 on Apple Podcasts in the U.K. But it's like, when does that scale? Like, I don't want it to get caught off guard, with people saying, hey, we do support you guys. We do want these things. Let's do it. And then it catches off guard. So right now we're going to do just U.S. if that's okay with you, Sam.
Oh yeah, it's fine. But if you want to throw some pounds our way,
we can
maybe
talk.
We can make it work out.
We can talk. And Simon and I aren't trying to get rich. Like I'm a stickler for trying to make people happy. So I usually take the brunt of things just because that's me. And so we can make something work. If you are in the UK or, a far region, places unknown, we can work it out.
You live in Themyscira. So how do they get to the Patreon?
Patreon will be linked probably in this show notes. Our website is very close to being done. There's only a few more things that we're going to do to tinker with that, and then that'll be up in all the show notes. So check that out. You can also join our Discord, which is becoming a very strong community of pull heads, as I think is what we're going to call our community, just because I think it's funny. And yeah, you could just join there. We talk about stuff all the time. It's not overly preachy. It's really just a giant nerd out.
Yeah, yeah.
So those are a couple of the new things that we got going on. Not to mention, the music, the new cover art, Patreon. I feel like I'm missing something, but I think that's might be it.
Yeah, I'm spending more time on my pictures, so I'm trying to really make them nice. So I won't be posting every day, even though I want to so bad. Like as soon as I'm done, I'm just like want to blow it out there. But I want to give people time to like digest. So I'll probably be slimming that down to once a week, not including Mezco Mondays, because that's just
not to mention
win shit. I don't know, Simon, if I'll ever win.
One of our tiers is. We're doing trading cards. Wednesday Pull is trading cards, which are going to be some of his toy photography. So we're going to try to make it more of a not scarcity. You provide more value. You don't want to overdo it. Give people, make them want.
Yeah.
So I took a hiatus from posting on Instagram. I just started posting random stuff. I was posting, when we ended the podcast last year, which was a decision we made just because holidays kind of suck. Coronavirus is still kicking everyone's ass and let us do these few things that we're working on. But I just started posting random stuff online, just things that I was interested in. But I'm going to get back to posting a lot of Simon's photography, which we also gained a backlog from that because, I wasn't posting it. So when you get back into that curated feed, it's going to be great. I'm excited. So yeah, and not to mention, we have other things that we want to do throughout the year. We didn't want to hit you all with it at the first day, but Yeah, I'm excited for it.
2021 is going to be lit. As long as we don't.
I'm excited for
it. As long as we don't die.
Yeah. If you guys could do us a favor and screenshot this while you're listening and post it on your Instagram and tag us, I would greatly appreciate that. We're going to have information on Simon's giveaway very soon. And yeah, we have a giveaway in our Discord, which I haven't even figured out what I'm going to do for this month's giveaway. Maybe just some comics, my favorite comics or something like that. But if you're in our Discord and it's like a rating system as to how active you are, you get XP or whatever. If you make it to the top 10, you are able to have certain perks within the Discord. If you make it in the top 5, you're entered into a monthly giveaway, which is going to be different every month. So yeah, if that's something you're into, that's a giveaway. We got a lot of stuff working. So keep an eye out. I appreciate you guys listening. It is so good to be back. It's good to talk to you, son.
Yeah. Prime time. It's good.
So we're circling the drain. That's the thing that I have to say.
You have to say it.
And we will see you guys next time.